Okay, ready?
Ready.
And action.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we're chatting about the 2018 film Hereditary.
Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's my basement.
And now 34 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russ's basement. I've never left.
You've never left my basement?
No, I've been stuck here since last podcast.
Oh, no.
Let me out.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget actors' names.
And most importantly, have fun. This is just another review podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Get us started with a creepy sound.
This is our first podcast post Halloween 2023,
and we couldn't let it go.
Right, a couple days ago we had Halloween, and this is, I guess, this
November
is
November 5th, and we're keeping the freak on.
This is our obligatory. Well, obliged to do at least maybe one horror movie a year.
Oh, okay,
I don't know.
We received an email, a request,
from a request, a
friend of the pod, Jason,
friend of the cast.
We should call Jason a little bit later.
Sure, let's see if he's around.
So when you were a kid, you watched horror movies.
Action
movies.
I didn't start watching horror movies until I was a teenager. Like you, I was terrified. I would see bits and pieces. It would terrify me for years, and just from like movie trailers or magazine. You know, what was that? Fangoria? Remember that magazine that was all about horror movies back in the days? No. Like Fangoria or something like that?
Was it beside the Cosmopolitan?
No, it was probably near the swimsuit magazines. Ooh. That you were trying to steal. I'm surprised you never saw it. Or tried to steal one, for that matter.
It's too scary. But I'm wondering...
Okay, but yes, I have more...
Are obligated... One horror movie a year, maybe should be more than one horror movie a year. And only thinking that you, as a film fan, enjoy the action or the horrors, maybe, especially as you grew up. And I maybe enjoyed more of the dramas and the comedies. So there may
I'd say that's a very fair assessment.
A little bit of maybe more of a back and forth as far as like you recommend a movie, I recommend a movie. And sometimes we can recommend movies that I haven't seen, like I've never seen Hereditary.
Well, that's what makes this podcast so special, you know?
You'd say Conan the Barbarian.
I like this and you like that.
And Bloodsport. And I've never seen those movies.
Exactly. And weren't they just wonderful gems?
And then I try to recommend movies and you had nothing to do with it.
No, because I'm busy watching Entourage and just absolute garbage on TV, Russ.
Let me recommend.
I will, anything. But yeah, you know what? We'll get into. I'm done Entourage now, so I will.
Well, you can move on with your life.
Open my arms now to more. I don't know what's the word. Art, more cultured things, more things with more substance. Let's go with that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's exciting. But let's get towards the podcast.
Okay. Let's just back up here for a second. Did you watch this movie?
Beep. Beep. Yeah, I would like to apologize about that. That was unfair of me. I did.
I thought it was funny.
It was funny. I did. There was.
I kept wondering. Like, why didn't he write a synopsis? I was like, why is he
why
skipping
he
so many
why
parts?
Isn't he talking about this film?
Yeah.
Why is he just asking us questions?
He said he could wing the synopsis, but he's missing all these chunks. And then it made sense. He's like, yeah, no fucking idea. Oh, there's a swear jar.
It was offensive and it was rude for our guest, Michaela. That I didn't
did she give you shit?
No, I just felt bad afterwards. Because here's a movie that she loves, and we invite her on, and I didn't even watch the movie.
Which it was literally one of her favorite movies of all time.
I know, and I have seen it before, and I also really enjoyed it.
You've probably seen it so many times that you thought you could just wing it, right?
I mean, I'll agree with you, but that's untrue as well.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've seen it, but I haven't seen it so many times.
That is not a fair assessment.
I did watch. I've watched every... Actually, okay, let's be honest here. I never watched Galaxy Quest. And I never watched Gremlins before this episode.
Oh, wait, but you did watch Gremlins.
I have watched Gremlins in the past.
But did you watch it before we reviewed
no,
it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man. What is happening here?
I'm being open. And
what is going on here?
But every other podcast, I've always watched the film beforehand.
Okay,
but
good to know.
Similar to what I did with the Galaxy Quest is I went on YouTube and I watched classic
don't ever clips do that again.
Of Gremlins prior to... us talking about
it. Give our three listeners the respect they deserve watching
let
the
me
movie.
A heartfelt apology on behalf of Charlie and myself.
Not that mad.
And but I would read the Wikipedia synopsis and I would watch a couple YouTube videos and go, I got this. And I had watched both of those movies in the past.
Now, preface to this, I think you were kind of alluding to this a while a couple minutes ago, but like, you're not a horror movie person.
I'm not a horror.
So I was a little concerned when I told Jason to write an email and recommend this movie.
That's
that I was being
email
mean.
From Jason.
So I thought I was being mean, but when last time when you didn't watch Galaxy Quest, all bets are off. I had no reserves about making Russ watch an uncomfortable horror movie now. Yeah. So this is,
and that's fine, punishment. Because I would not choose to watch a horror movie of this of this magnitude.
But now I made you watch it, and someone probably says, opened your eyes a little bit.
Oh, of course. If someone said, dude, you got to watch this movie, it's so good. You got to watch Cabin in the Woods because it's really good. You got to watch Midsommar because it's really good. And I will watch those movies and I will appreciate them and really like them. But I would never choose to just watch them.
Have you not seen Cabin in the Woods?
No, I have.
Oh, okay.
Someone told me it was
so
amazing. Yeah.
Oh, because
you
is.
Maybe said it.
Oh, probably.
You're like, dude, you got to watch Cabin in the Woods. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, no, this movie is really good.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Here we are.
The 2018 film by Ari Aster. A
couple of silver
Hereditary.
Ari Aster.
Ari Aster.
The infamous
He's got
director who just makes these incredibly nerve-wracking movies, right?
Like a lot of psychological aspects to it as far as mental health, a lot of grief, a lot of like common themes between the two movies I've seen. I have not seen 2023's Beau Is Afraid.
Oh, I've seen it.
You've seen it.
It's like,
and you didn't
anxiety and do. Oh. Sorry,
you didn't. Oh, you didn't like it, or you did like it?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Is it like Uncut Gems anxiety?
The whole movie. You're like, kind of, what is going on? It's very. It's very artistic. Like, there's got to be all sorts of different symbolism and stuff. And I'm sure it's
like
gonna
Entourage.
It's like an Entourage. It's super deep. Like, no, I think Beau Is Afraid would take multiple viewings to sort of break it down and stuff like that. It's interesting, though. Yeah.
Okay.
Hereditary is my favorite Ari Aster movie out of those three. Has he done anything other than those
so
three?
So he did a series of shorts, and then he got into Hereditary, then did Midsommar.
And I'm sure once he did Hereditary, it was just like, his like world opened up, right?
Yeah, A24 is like, I will do anything for you.
Okay.
Speaking of A24.
I really like this studio, A24. They churn out
this little studio called A24.
They churn out some pretty good titles.
They've been...
And they take risks.
They
like
take risks.
Yeah.
And I was kind of... this is Ignorant Russ saying this. I wonder if they... Because they formed back in 2012. I wonder if they saw the downfall of like Miramax or like a Harvey Weinstein. And when Harvey Weinstein goes down the gutter, we need to...
You know,
like,
this guy's going to get caught.
Yeah, we need to be there to be that next big distribution
company. Risky taken.
And we're going to be the ones that are collecting all the Academy Awards. They've been nominated for 49 Academy Awards. They've won 16. 2022, the Academy Awards for this year for the 2022 films, they pretty much like swept up.
When did they come into fruition, A24 films? Did you figure that out?
Company was founded in 2012.
In 2012? Yeah. To think of all those accolades already in 10 years.
And they're like a dominant space. Like, their marketing is like... I think they can probably market a film the best out of every distribution company. And then
once you see that A24, you know, okay, this is something different. This is not mainstream. This is something normally original, right? Something
the fact crafted. That you can see A24 and get a sense of a feeling about the film.
Yeah, like I get excited when I see something's presented by A24 now. Yeah.
They've got like Uncut Gems, Lady Bird, Moonlight, The Whale.
Yeah, all very different films, but all of them I think share... same things that they're not very, they don't have any sort of mainstream feel to them. And I'm sure they all took risks and all that.
Yeah. And I think the directors like an Ari Aster will say that A24 takes risks on their, on creative minds, which makes a home for these amazing filmmakers like Ari.
Nice.
They start filming Hereditary in February
2017. Okay.
And it was released in Sundance in January 2018. So like,
wow,
a quick turnaround, right?
11 months there from start to festival. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I started to think while I was watching this for the first time that it was filmed in Canada, but it was filmed in Utah. Hmm. So all the outside shots are all in Utah. They had a soundstage for the house, but everything's in Utah there, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So who's in this movie?
This movie?
Oh, so you just asked.
I did.
Thank you for asking. Toni Collette.
Toni Collette.
Ariel, Muriel's Wedding. I was going to call her Ariel from Little Mermaid.
She's an amazing actress, but no, I always find her good. Yes. Sometimes she's amazing. Hit and miss in some of her characters, but I think she's a good character actress, I find. You know,
Did you ever see United States of Terra?
No.
So she is Australian.
That's a series, obviously.
Oh, yeah, she plays like just a series of just American characters. I've never seen it, but comedic. Like she can go the full spectrum of acting. Like she can be serious, like something like Hereditary, or she can be, you know, completely silly with like United States of Terror, which we should probably both watch, or Knives Out, or Little Miss Sunshine, like more of a lighter
side. Is that an Australian production, the United States of Terror?
No, it's an American thing. I think it's through HBO.
Okay.
You know, similar to like a Tracy Allman or like other character, or like a Sacha Baron Cohen.
It's like a sketch comedy?
Yeah, a sketch comedy. Yeah, I believe so.
Okay,
out. You should check it out.
For sure.
I don't remember like hearing a lot about it, but I remember when I was seeing it, like kind of thinking, oh yeah, Tony Collette could do that.
Okay. Who else is in this movie? Some good actors in this movie.
Well, Alex Wolff.
Alex Wolff. Not many people, I think, know who Alex Wolff is.
No.
What other movies is he in?
Well, he's in Old.
Old, yes.
He's one. I think, is he the one of the last kids on the beach? Is he the one that makes it? Are you spoilers for Old? Have you not seen Old?
Yeah, I have. I'm trying to think.
I feel like he's maybe one of the...
I don't know whether he does or Old.
Two kids make it off the beach. I thought it was him. But
I thought everybody dies at the end.
No. Two kids like swim to the coral... And then they were
swim underneath the coral.
But when they arrived at the beach, they were either like, no, they weren't babies because babies don't
live. No, they were like they children. Were children. Now right. And then now they're like almost young adults, late teenagers.
Speaking of late.
I think he was in...
He was in Pig. He was in Oppenheimer. Old Pig,
Oppenheimer. But I think he was also in Jumanji?
Yes, he was in the second Jumanji.
Right.
Yeah. Not that I've seen that. No,
he's one of the kids that plays the video games in Jumanji. Yeah, so he's just got Robin a bit part before they get sucked into the jungle. Welcome to the jungle!
Millie Shapiro? Shapiro.
Shapiro. Charlie. She plays the Charlie. She's 16 here, eh?
She's 16 in 2018, so probably 15 when they were filming the movie.
Nice.
No other real credits, but I mean, she's a child.
So, little typecast, I would imagine, due to her physical appearance.
Maybe. I mean, I assume so. If she's pursuing acting, I mean, we'll see her again. I don't know if she's going to pursue acting. I mean, you do a movie like this and you might get pigeonholed a little bit.
Yeah, like, I think she's got quite a distinct look to her now. She's going to be always Charlie, a.k.a. Paimon for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Who knows?
Well, I think when you make such an impact in the social consciousness of people, then, you can't really continue acting like the guy from Game of Thrones.
Right. Yeah. No one could probably separate
Joffrey.
Yeah, Joffrey from that role now.
I retire.
Yeah.
Gabriel,
I'll count my Game of Thrones money.
Oh, like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
Gabriel Byrne?
Gabriel Byrne. Byrne.
Well, why don't you spell it like Byrne?
Well, I don't know, because isn't he Irish? That's Irish. They do fucked up shit, man. That's racist.
Is it?
No.
I have Irish in me, so I can... I have a little Irish in me, so we can make fun of the Irish.
Aye.
Here's one of the things... I really enjoyed this movie, but when you look at all the characters, there was a little bit of like, I had to really kind of go benefit the doubt of the fact that like Gabriel is 22 years older than Tony, and Alex, who I guess is playing maybe like a 16-year-old, he looks like an older, like an old,
yeah,
he looks like, he doesn't look like a teenager.
And he's got like a olive kind of complexion, like the,
right.
It doesn't seem,
whereas he's not,
you know, where they normally cast people that kind of look like the older actresses, they say, okay, this is sort of genetics or whatever, but he doesn't look anything like his so-called movie parents, but whatever. That has no effect on this movie whatsoever. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
Not one time did I sit there and be like, that's unbelievable, because they don't look anything.
It did like take when near the end when Toni Collette's like kissing Gabriel and she's like, love you, you're the love of my life. I'm like, it's like she's kissing her grandpa a little bit. Like, it's like she's kissing her dad. There is a big age gap between Toni and
maybe Gabriel. Maybe that felt so, I mean, we'll get into it, but maybe that felt so weird because that was the first kind of sign of affection that those two had the entire movie.
Right. They're emotionally disconnected.
Oh, totally.
You know who else is in this?
I don't know. You tell me.
Anne Dowd.
Anne? You've got Ad. Her name's Ad?
Ad Dowd.
Like subtract?
And
Dowd.
Whoopsie. Let me just adjust
spelling
that
in mistake. Google
Docs. That's Ann Dowd. Joan also played a cultist in The Leftovers. One of my...
Hell payment.
That's Ann there.
Oh, that's Ann.
Yeah.
She does an amazing... Hell payment. Okay, Ann.
Tell her to be quiet. Something's going to happen if she keeps chanting that.
Yeah, you say that three times in the mirror.
There's no mirror here.
Oh, no, thank God.
I'm not hitting that button again.
This movie, I believe, cost $10 million to make, and it made $82.8
million. $10 million? Wow, what a...
Now I'm saying that, I'm like, did I... Because I remember I looked up how much it made, but then I read somewhere else that it only cost $10 million, and I'm not sure.
Honestly, I imagine...
compared.
Toni Collette and Gabriel Byrne's, and probably the cinematographer's salary, I'm just guessing.
Right.
Was the most out of that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. This movie is well crafted for $10 million, tell you that much.
Oh, amazing. It's a lot less than the money they spent, another production company spent to purchase the rights for The Exorcist. And that second movie flopped. So maybe we learned something here about original content within a budget.
Did this movie win any awards or anything like that?
She wasn't even nominated.
Well,
Toni Collette wasn't even nominated.
Action movies and horror movies, I think they sometimes
get... The Oscars are wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they don't, I don't know.
Here's the people that were nominated for Oscars that year.
This year? Okay.
Actress or that year. Role. Olivia Colman, who won for The Favorite. Have you ever seen The Favorite?
No, and I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who Olivia Colman is?
No.
You are
uncultured silly, piece silly of boy. Shit.
Russ, do you remember Hot Fuzz?
You're so mean.
Do you remember Hot Fuzz? Oh my gosh.
I was trying to make a dirty joke there.
You don't. So you do remember Hot Fuzz?
I'm just going to put a coin for my thoughts.
Do you remember
the yes, movie? Yes.
I Edgar Wright, Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
So there is like Jim Broadbent is like the chief of police, and he's got a number of like sergeants that work underneath him.
Yeah.
One of them being his son, Nick Frost. One of the other police officers or lieutenants is Olivia Colman. She kind of talks, she talks really quickly and with her really strong British accent.
I'm sure if I saw the face, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's her.
Plus, she's but in pretty much like every large production movie now.
Okay.
Yalitza Aparicio.
Yalitza Aparicio.
That perfect.
Aparicio.
Did you ever see the movie Roma?
No, that's one I haven't seen yet either.
Good. You got to watch that on Netflix.
I got to add that. Yeah.
Glenn Close, the wife. Remove.
We know Glenn.
No one wants to watch the wife. Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born. I don't know if you can argue about the charisma power of Lady Gaga.
I love the Gaga.
And then Melissa McCarthy from Can You Ever Forgive Me, which is a pretty quiet role. It's a nice movie, but not as good as Hereditary. So I would say nominate.
Hey, Oscars, open your eyes a little bit.
Open your eyes a little bit. Figure it out. Get rid of Glenn Close, Melissa McCarthy. Throw in, not that there's anything wrong with those two people, but bring in, there's an opening here for Toni Collette.
Okay.
Are you ready to get into this?
Let's get into this.
Ellen Tapper Lee,
a.k.a. Queen Lee,
has lived her whole life with the single desire of resurrecting the Demon King.
Paimon.
Disciple of Lucifer and rightful King of Hell, commanding 200 legions of demonic spirits. She attempts the resurrection first with her own children, but her son Charles hangs himself before she can complete the ritual. And her daughter, Annie, well, she was a girl.
Paimon needs a boy.
Luckily, she was given a second chance with her grandchildren.
Annie's offspring.
Peter.
A boy.
And Charlie. With the help of her coven and trusty acolyte Joan, Ellen sets up a series of events.
Using incantations, symbols, and good old-fashioned magic.
That decapitates Charlie and implants her spirit into a brother, Peter, a male host.
He's a boy with a penis.
Ellen,
Queen Lee,
completes the true sacrifice, fating her family to die for the glory of Paimon, which sounds pretty tragic if you ask a classroom of high school students.
Okay, why?
I said students instead of students. Scoo.
Hail Paimon!
Do you remember the teacher? They would go, okay.
Hail Paimon!
Okay, shh, shh. Do you remember the teacher? Like, he almost had, like, a really good, like, Bueller, kind of where he would just like ask rhetorical questions, not rhetorical questions. He would ask questions to the class about a piece of literature, and then they would answer and be like, okay, why? Because there's a lot of like, just to like keep the conversation going.
Yeah, and the kid's like, because. Yeah,
okay.
Teacher's like, what? You fucking dumbass. Did you hear the topic that they were discussing though in the classroom there?
What was about?
It was about Hercules. Oh, they were talking about kind of Greek mythology tragedy, and Greek tragedies in sure. Hercules. And here I quoted some of the lines he says is, the girl was responding to the teacher and she says, because he literally refuses to literally look at all the signs, right? Yeah. And Peter's right behind her, yeah. You know? And then they were talking about, well, Hercules then never had a choice. And they were talking about how everybody in that story was just a hopeless pawn. And connected to the story that we're watching right in front of us, right?
Yeah, Hereditary is also a tragedy where the outcome is potentially inevitable.
Yeah, like grandma and this cult have set everything in place, right?
Yeah. Similar to another movie called Midsommar.
Ooh. So the pieces were already there, yeah,
like,
right?
Like Pell, like one of the students, the guy who actually was from Sweden, was kind of like...
Wait, you're talking about Midsommar now,
yeah, right? How he was potentially the Oracle. One theory could be that he was the Oracle, even though the movie doesn't say this. But he's like pulling the strings all the way along to ensure that Florence Pugh's character comes. She becomes like May Queen, like crowning her and then crowning him in return.
There's theories that they actually... might have killed her parents in the beginning or set it up because you can see a bunch of Mayflowers in the room in her parents' death scene there. 100%. So there's some theories that this was, again, like you said, it was all
orchestrated.
Orchestrated. Great word.
Oh, thank you.
Get a coin for that word.
Thank you.
It's a good word.
See Bradley Cooper's new film, Maestro.
Oh.
He orchestrates orchestra.
I don't know. You tried to get me to watch that other one.
Tar?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I mean, I bet it's good, but man, it was so slow.
It's slow.
I gave it half an hour and I just...
But you got to go back.
Yeah, I went and watched Entourage instead. I was trying to think, okay, what was the draw to Entourage here for me? And I was trying to think of it this morning. I think it was just utter complete nonsense fantasy. Like, it's so outlandish depiction of Hollywood that I bet people in Hollywood are just like, this is so silly.
Yeah, I think it was just like this time of time of society where we're just like bras and bros and hang with your buddies and have a
party
money
and girls and bacheloring it up and stuff. Yeah, but it was complete and nonsense fantasy. But I actually think that the show is more about Ari Gold, the agent, than it is about Vincent Chase, the movie star. He's almost just a catalyst that ties everybody together. He's almost a secondary character in the whole show, I feel, anyways.
Vincent is like from every... I think everybody has more potential character development than Vincent.
Yeah, exactly. He's just really one dimensional the whole show. So that's everybody else drives the show.
So that's an HBO show. I'm just wondering what has more fantastical elements, House of the Dragon or Entourage?
Well, House of the Dragon, magical stuff.
I mean, that's more real.
Whatever.
Would you not have sex with your uncle? We're talking about the movie Hereditary.
No, my uncle's not very good looking. I would not have sex with him.
What?
I'm sorry, Uncle Pat.
I'm glad we had this conversation.
Here we go.
The movie of Hereditary.
Yeah. So I think I didn't see this movie for the longest time. This is my second viewing of the movie. So I quite enjoyed the, and we'll get into that at the end when we rate it. But I quite enjoyed the second viewing because I knew a lot of stuff. Now, going back and watching it a second time, you get to see all the setup and the symbols and all the hints that are literally right in front of you this entire movie. Right. But you don't realize it on your first viewing. No. And then you go back and watch, you're like, oh my gosh, like everything's like really in my face this entire time.
Telling you what's going to happen the whole time.
Basically.
I saw this for the first time. I have not gone down the rabbit hole of seeing other theories. I wanted to keep the theories that we talk about today as my own.
Okay.
I know you've done a little bit more
research. I can't actually say that a lot of these theories are my own. I've obviously been influenced from the stuff I've seen online, but can't go back in time. Yep. You know, I've seen it already. I already went down the rabbit hole before we did this.
I
so,
and I did the same thing with
Midsommar. But that's cool. You get to be the sort of first impression and I get to be the sort of repeat watch.
And I don't think I have huge, like major hot takes other than the fact that everything has been orchestrated by Ellen, the grandma.
Yeah.
And so we're just seeing, like, even though, like, her character is already dead, like, she is so there the whole film.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing every piece.
Like, her fingers are on everything.
Her fingers are on everything. And it, and there's parts of me that, certain parts of the movie, I'm watching this, and Toni Collette's character, Annie, and I'm just, like, so frustrated with her, and I'm thinking, well, you're making all the wrong choices. But then as we get near to the end of the film, I'm also thinking, well, like, well, she's a victim, just like, she's just like one of Ellen's victims. Like, she's completely, like,
she's been manipulated.
She's been manipulated. She's been
thinking. Upon, controlled.
She's probably possessed every time she's walking in her sleep, mm-hmm. or she calls sleepwalking. It's actually a possession, and it's, and it just goes to, like, gaslighting her, and just, like, she just goes further down.
I don't know. She did some things when she was sleepwalking, like try and light her son on fire and all
but
that.
But do you not think that was probably a possession? Like, she was being controlled by her mom, Ellen, or she's being controlled by the coven, or they were doing...
Like, I actually think it's the inverse. I think that was her subconscious, or whatever you want to call it, sort of ignoring all the control that's going on. And she's realizing, like, I know, it, as fucked up as it sounds, but, like, her act of trying to burn her son was a way of her, I save feel, him. Trying to save right. him. And, the, and she even says yeah, in her yeah, dream, yeah. Mommy, mommy, why did you try and burn? She's like, I don't, I love you. I was trying to save you. And then right. she wakes up from that dream, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And she says, at one point during the film, that she didn't want him, and that she didn't want, she, and there's probably,
she did say that in a dream, right?
Oh, okay. But there's, like, this,
she's like, I didn't want you.
Yeah.
Yeah. She covered her
but
mouth.
She didn't want her, not because she didn't love him or no. that she didn't want him, is that because she wanted to save him before knowing what her mom was doing to her. She didn't want to bring in another child into
right.
this world.
Right? Yeah.
But I think every time she's walking, sleepwalking and possessed, it's like a little bit of like a trial. So the coven is like, constantly trying to raise payment and constantly, you know, doing these incantations, trying to manipulate people to get them to this point.
What is an incantation?
Incantation is more of like, it's not like a magic spell itself, but like you're saying,
like
words.
A seance almost?
Like a seance.
Okay. Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, so I that's my, you know, lack of a
yeah. When this movie first came out, I didn't pay it any attention at all. I think I just saw the movie poster, and I think I chalked it up to sort of another one of those The Conjuring or Annabelle movies. You know what I mean? Especially with the image of Charlie on the front, I was like, oh, what is this? Some weird, you know. Anyways, and then until the sort of word of mouth went out, and then I watched it, and I think I realized within that first initial push into one of the models, and then it transitions into right. Peter's room. It's just after the opening credits. And I think right then there, you know, something, I was like, this is going to be a different type of movie.
Right.
This seems already very well, and I was hooked. You know right. what I mean?
Like, there's the dollhouses. She makes miniatures, but the house itself almost looks like a dollhouse.
Yeah.
Like, it's immaculately put together. It's very beautiful. At times, I felt they were filming the exterior of the house, and that looked like a model as well. And I was wondering just how it was backlit with the sky and the trees. I thought, am I looking at a model that's made to look like a real house? You've got the tree house.
Maybe that was on purpose, you know, because yep. the whole model thing, and we're talking about people being pawns and puppets right. and little, you know, she uses little figurines and stuff, and maybe that's exactly
right.
what, where the feeling
this
you're
whole
supposed
house
to
house is all set up.
It's all just set up. It's a show. It's a right. it's a play. It is a Greek tragedy unfolding in front of us. Right?
And you've got this know. And you've got Annie, who's like therapeutically using her skill of miniatures to like reenact like tragic moments of her life. So you see like she's creating a miniature of her son like
in that was
the car
fucked
accident.
Up, man.
That's fucked up. And so that's like her way of dealing with the tragedy.
I guess that was her way of grieving
so
or something.
She does that for scenes we've seen, but she's also doing it for scenes that we have not seen. Like there's one setup that she's doing of like her mom like standing in the doorway and the like, light is being cast and she's like watching someone sleeping or something like that, as if that had happened at one point. Like you see this is part of like seeing the power of the grandma.
Or did you see that other one where Annie's breastfeeding in bed and her grandma's standing beside the bed with her shirt open and her boob out?
Oh,
trying to like, almost, like standing, like
offering
her, offering
own,
her own boob up. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I didn't see that. That's freaky.
Yeah.
Ari Aster, you son of a gun.
What's up with Charlie? I mean, we know
what's up with Charlie.
We know by the end that
Charles
Charlie wasn't
charge
Charlie wasn't Charlie all this time. Charlie was actually Paimon the whole time.
Paimon?
I don't know.
What does she say? What does Joan say?
What does she say, Sean?
Oh my goodness. Oh my God.
Wait. Don't think I would be able to read.
Sean, stop. Sean, stop. Paimon. Hail Paimon. Paimon.
Paimon.
Paimon.
Paimon.
Paimon. Paimon. Daylight coming.
Me Paimon home. Paimon. Charlie, anyways, Charlie, they never really explain her sort of...
I don't think she has. I think she just is like...
Like
we
disability
all
or birth.
I don't think she has a disability. Well, she has an allergy.
Right. Nuts. And you think the reason that she was just strange is because she was Paimon.
Yeah, she grew up with her grandma.
And she doesn't really know how to be a sort of a person in the
20th
century
recluse.
Sort of.
Yeah, I think she's. Know. I think she. Yeah, her grandma's influence on her growing up, probably, and she's a little bit of like an
socially awkward.
She's a little socially awkward, like us all. But I mean, she like loved to just draw and you know. So I could see her just
draw morbid things and make morbid creatures and figurines and stuff. You can buy those figurines online. Eh?
Whoa!
You can buy like the little figurines that Charlie
that she
made.
Makes. Yeah. Because what's the link there? Like you've got. Annie obviously making the miniatures.
She's like making effigies, I guess.
Right.
Or what would you call that? Oh, at the end, the big sort of statue that they've put together. What would you call that? An effigy?
Like an effigy, sure. I guess. Yeah, like a statue of Paimon.
Yeah.
Yeah, with
something
that's
you
her
worship.
Her decapitated head is on that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that till the second viewing. Yeah, I was like, what head is that? And then I was like, oh, that's Charlie's.
It's hard
head.
To see, but you kind of get the hair and you're like, oh, that must be Charlie's.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought was weird about Charlie is that she eats chocolate bars like it's Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Like it's so weird because I think it's because her jacket sleeve is almost covering half of her hand. And then she's like holding a chocolate bar that looks the size of, it looks like a very large chocolate bar. And the wrapping isn't fully off. Like it's only like maybe like 80% off the bar. And she's just like eating it like she's freaking Charlie. Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, Charlie.
Oh, what?
What did we just That was hilarious.
Hail Paimon!
There you go.
So... interesting. And that is okay, interesting. So Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
So I forget, someone had a theory online about why she was eating what chocolate did for Paimon or whatever Paimon. Like that. What? I don't care. I'm going to. Hey, we said we're going to forget actors' names and screw shit up.
That's
right
not an actor. It's a demonic leader.
Yeah, it's one of the eight kings of hell.
Or, yeah, sure.
Right? Yeah. Where did you get.
No, I want to stay on this Charlie and the Chocolate thing for a second. Okay, so in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, all
in
the
little
kids,
children like the, eat my chocolate.
Right, like Charlie stands out as being the only like good kid, right? So every other kid has flaws and basically like through their own demise, like pretty much.
And Charlie pretty much kills all the other kids, right?
Well, Willy Wonka does. Like,
oh,
Willy Wonka's
oh right,
like,
right. I'm getting that
I wouldn't
up.
Eat that if I were you. Okay. And then the kid like gets sucked in a tube or turns into a blueberry or goes into a TV. There, yeah, but it, and that's like, anyways, okay.
I don't know.
Did you get that Charlie was, I believe Annie's brother was named Charles.
Yeah.
So like, so you see, so automatically, and it sounds like Annie was trying to make Charles her mom was, yeah.
Queen Lee.
Yeah.
Annie's the daughter.
Thank you. I'll say Queen Lee was trying to get Charles to be Paimon.
Yeah, because she even says in her therapy session, right. My brother's, you know, basically, you don't know it at, you don't know till the end of the movie. Oh, shit, her brother was right the whole time.
Right, yeah.
Right, but, you know, early in the movie, you think her brother was just schizophrenic. He's like, claimed that her mom was trying to put people inside of him. Well, right. It totally was.
And it was, so luckily she got a second chance with, like, using her uncle's name as Charlie for Charles. Okay, sorry. Okay, you go ahead.
No, I don't know. That was it.
We're off, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, again, tons of hints, you know, in the opening funeral scene when she's talking about, you know, oh, there's tons of strange people I've never seen here before. My mother was a very private person with private rituals and private friends and private anxieties. And so it was like, boom. I mean, you don't clue into all these things until the end of the movie, right? Which is fantastic, by the way, because it keeps you just hooked. But then someone would like rub some oil on Grammy's lips
Yeah, that was a freaky.
I don't know what that was about.
There was also that guy when she was at the coffin. She looked over and there was that guy in the corner just smiling.
He's
the same guy, naked. I was gonna say in like Peter's room. Yeah.
I wonder what's up with the nakedness.
I think if you're gonna resurrect a god, you might as well just get naked.
You gotta kind of get rid of all your worldly possessions, kind of thing.
Like, who tells us to wear clothes, anyways?
I don't know. Society.
It's a capitalism,
right? They reject the Trinity. What is the Trinity?
I think that's Jesus.
Oh, right.
Santa Claus.
Oh, it's the three.
Superman.
No, it's the three. Jesus,
Superman,
the Holy Ghost, Santa Claus, and the Holy Spirit, or something like that. Yeah. The Trinity.
You know more than I do.
I don't. I'm just guessing. But now that you said that, I'm just kind of clued in.
Three is Jesus, Superman,
and Santa Claus. That's good. What about the Easter Bunny?
No, he's important, but he's not part of the three.
Okay. He's a force. He's a force wheel.
I mean, you're going to throw the Easter Bunny in there, there's a lot more other creatures that we should put in there.
Okay. Let's talk about this.
Tooth Fairy.
Oh, I was just going to say, you took mine.
Switch Witch. I took one.
It's a Switch Witch.
What is
this? I was going to say the Tooth Fairy.
Well, Halloween was just a couple of days ago. Mm. But if your kid collects a lot of candy and you don't want them to eat all that candy, they can trade that candy to the Switch Witch for a toy.
Oh, shit.
So you could be like, okay, you can give me 80% of your candy, and Switch Witch will leave you a toy.
What kind of toy?
Well, I mean, it depends on what kind of relationship
you have. 80% of candy, I mean, that could be a lot of
money. So then
it better be a good tit for tat, sort of. I want fair value for my candy.
Well, then, I mean, you're going to have to talk to the Switch Witch.
Making
arrangements.
Shoes off, shoes off.
What does that mean?
Shoes off. You know how I kept complaining that the shoes were off?
In the house?
Yeah. If you crank the volume... When they come home from the funeral, before they enter the house,
Gabriel is saying this.
You can hear footsteps upstairs.
Oh,
when they're not in the house, and you see, there's a really long shot of the opening foyer before they enter. And if I cranked the volume this morning when I was revisiting, and you can hear like people stomping upstairs before they open the door. And then her dad's always like, "Shoes off, Charlie, shoes off." But the theory is, again, this is not my theory, but that it's the muddy footprints of the cult that have always been sneaking into the house all the time.
Why is this house so muddy?
So that's why their dad's always mad. A couple times he hey, shoes off on the house. And you could see he's in the foyer getting mad at all the footprints.
So you cranked the volume and then you cranked it to the movie.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like, all about grief. And it doesn't take that supernatural flip until what did you think, like halfway through the movie it really, like, it's not supernatural right off the bat. I mean, there's little hints.
Yeah, I don't think until Joan does to the chalkboard thing.
Brings in, but before that it could be just all about grief, and you see the different individuals dealing with grief differently. You've got like Annie, who's just like freaking emotionally baggaged everywhere, and you've got like Steve, Gabriel's character, who is just kind of continuing to live.
He's just going through the paces, like,
and poor guy. Peter's just in shock. But yeah, it is interesting, and it's how they all kind of fight each other. I don't know why Annie had to lie about going to grief counseling.
I don't know. What was she telling? She said she
was going to the movies.
Right.
By the end of the movie, when she starts actually being open and truthful to Gabriel's character, right, she's like, "This is Joan. Joan's part of the coven." And he's like, "Dude, I don't trust you anymore."
Yeah, because you're not being. And then,
Joan?
I've got a note of that too. She's like absolutely pleading with him to come downstairs, check out this book, throw it in the fire, help me. Like, she is so convinced what is going on. And he's just like rolling his eyes at her. And he's just,
well, I think he's dragging. Just, he's,
but he
he's
also
lost him.
Yeah, but he also mentioned, like, I'm not doing this again. Right. So I was kind of thinking, we obviously know there's some crazy family dynamics
but
in
I
the
think
past.
It's,
I
think
but
it's,
I wonder if she's had episodes like this in
sure,
the past.
I'm sure she has. And I mean, he's seen mental health, like, with her brother, with the mom, with her, you know, the sleepwalking, the light, like, putting kerosene? Is that the right? Gasoline? Putting gasoline all over her kids, herself. Like, he's seen all these things, and now his daughter's dead and his wife is completely out to lunch, in his perspective, despite him being a doctor. Isn't he a doctor? So he's just completely like now just like, okay, you know what? You lied to me. I don't understand who this
child is. I can't believe a word that's coming out of your mouth.
Like, my last child, Peter, is now like completely afraid of you. I'm done.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
There's oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's when she's yelling at him at the dinner table, and she says, "Oh, I can, you know, and you've just got that smirk on your face," and you're like, "What is she talking about? The smirk on his face?" But remember when he's in the school and he looks
in the mirror,
in the mirror, and there's that smirk on his face. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's again not my theory, but a theory out there that's what she sees when she looks at Peter.
Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
sees that face.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't see sort of she doesn't see the sort of somber, recluse. She sees this kind of smirky, weasel. I guess I don't know.
But again, maybe from Queen Lee that she set this up to just draw them further and further apart.
Yeah.
Like she can't show empathy to her kid because she doesn't see the kid that he is. Oh. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, the acting's top notch in this movie, but that final possession.
You would say Academy Award winning worthy.
She should have been nominated. That for that one moment where she's lost it because her husband spontaneously combusted and then the light comes over her and possesses her, and then she just automatically does this complete 180 with her face. It's like an amazing scene. I just thought that was friggin' crazy.
So the light is always there.
I think in
multiple scenes you see the light. And so do you think that's just like other spirits or
no? I think that's Paimon.
That's Paimon. So Paimon's always kind of just hanging out with the light, and if he's
Her grandma, maybe even too, right? Yeah, the finger of Paimon whatever.
Yeah, because there is that part where Charlie goes outside and she's walking down the driveway, and like in the distance she can see her grandma. Like,
well, we don't know who that is, but it's somebody doing some sort of some naked older person.
Is she naked? She might be naked.
I think so. I see just an exposed back. Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's just like a ring of fire or like a line of fire around her. Like who's that?
Like was that really there? Or was that an apparition of her Jima? You know, I don't know, of her grandma?
Her
Her Jima. Yeah, I was gonna say Jima, but
What is Jima from? Who says Jima?
Candace says Jima.
Is that like from like
just what she calls her grandma, Jima?
Origins?
Like, yo, what up, like Jima?
Swedish,
trying to be cool.
Gina?
I don't know.
I mean Tony's monologues throughout this movie, like that dinner scene is just freaking amazing.
Yeah.
So would you light a candle, choose an item like a link, and like read the words to talk to someone that was passed away?
Absolutely not. No way.
I don't think I
would. Even Gabriel Byrne was like, what even language is this? Yeah. You know what he
mentioned?
Doesn't
matter, just say the words.
She doesn't care. Yeah, yeah. Just say the words. Just say the words.
They're written phonetically, thank
you. And you notice when Joan said that chalkboard was her son's, but when she sees,
outside,
when Annie sees her in the parking lot, there's... In the back of her car, there's a chalkboard
box. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Again, something I picked up on the internet. You know, I didn't check out the first time.
You saw it.
I'm not that smart.
I did watch this on the iPad, so I was able to pretty much see everything for the first time. But then my second watching was more on my phone as I was like writing notes and stuff like that. So I couldn't see the little details the second time I watched it. Mm. But it sounds like it's one of those movies that you could watch again and again.
Yeah, it's a tough watch, but if you want to go back, you can always skip the last 10 minutes if you want.
No way. The dog ends up dying.
Yes.
At the end. You do see the dog outside somewhere.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the dog's dead.
Because at a certain point in the movie, I'm like, where's that dog? Because they do kind of like spend a couple seconds
on it. Yeah.
When one of the first times they go in the house, like there's like Gabriel Byrne is talking to the dog a little bit, and you're like, oh, the dog, how's that dog going to die? Right away was my thought.
In Peter's bedroom, there's some really cool symbolism. At the very, very beginning, you can see three hats hanging in his room, which represents the three heads needed for the sacrifice for Paimon.
Oh.
And they all have a kind of color palette to them.
Oh, interesting.
One has Annie's color palette. The other one has Grandma's color palette. And the other one has Charlie's color palette on it.
Is that what the internet told you?
Yes, again. But hey, for these people who want to go back and watch it, now you know these little things.
Look for the color palettes.
Yeah, look for the color palettes. Hey. Oh, I'm trying to look at my notes here.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I love the day to night quick jump cuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and on and on the final one of the house exterior, it goes from day to night, and then that is the night where everything goes down or whatever. But right. when it cuts to the night, go back and watch it. At the night scene, there's about a dozen naked people around the house, but it's so quick you don't see it. And to go back and watch it though.
Like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That final day to night jump cut at the night.
Day and night.
Yeah. Day and night.
I keep on them.
I'm going to see this, Mike. So what do you think were going to do with Peter? So Annie's dead. Her husband's caught on fire.
Right.
So they've got this house now with no owners and an orphaned Peter,
right.
who's now Paimon. Right. I mean, I guess we're going down the rabbit hole a little too much.
Like what happens next?
Yeah. What happens the next day?
Well, I mean, the fact that a demon exists and is on Earth, I would say they start getting riches. Like they start.
They did say have a man bend to their need or something. So I wonder if they'd be
take over the human race.
Well, not that, but maybe like if a police officer showed up, they'd be able to like incantation him away, charm him away. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they can use their magic to sort of escape the law. Right.
I would say don't go to Utah because I mean
definitely don't go to Utah. Like, fuck that place, especially they got Paimon worshippers here. Where'd you get all your in the synopsis? You wanted to. I was going to bring it up, but you wanted to keep talking about Charlie and Chocolate Factory. What did you say here? Demon King, disciple of Lucifer. I mean, we know that he was one of the eight. That's what they said. The rightful king of hell, commanding 200 legions of demonic spirits. I mean, obviously, you got this from the internet.
Yeah, I liked it. So when you watch,
is he second in command to Lucifer then?
Well, he reported to Lucifer. Like when I read I did go on the internet to read the Wikipedia plot summary of about Hereditary, and I did, I clicked the
Paimon,
and it is like it was in, I guess, doctors back in the 1500s when they would be like, "You've got a toothache. It's because it's an evil spirit." It wouldn't be so much like medical based as we are now. And so there was a lot of doctors would write about like, "You've been influenced by Satan." And so like Paimon was one of those like, you know, based on ailments or things that are wrong with you that you could be influenced. You could be like, "You've got Paimon in your belly. Take two of these.
Take two of these and call me in the morning."
Right. So there is like,
and don't
like
burn.
From as back as the 1500s, like there's like idea of like this creature and what he did and how he was connected to Lucifer and the angels and God and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And so, yeah, Paimon is a real thing. He's a real, real living dude.
How did you handle the last 10 minutes of this movie? The Annie chasing Peter around the house, then him making it up to the attic.
I think I laughed.
And then her breaking into the attic and then beheading herself with what? Some sort of wire.
It's a piano wire.
Right.
That I got that from the Wikipedia.
Okay.
It's very quick because you do, so when he runs downstairs in his like remaining days, like the piano is tipped over.
Okay.
So you're like, okay, but yeah, you think of how much setup they do with a lot of these things. Like nothing is just kind of one off. Everything is kind of like seen and set up throughout, like a lot of foreshadowing. So the fact that she like kills herself with a piano wire seemed like a little bit out of nowhere, but it would have been nice if maybe we saw her playing the piano at a certain part of the film. He played music. He had the guitar.
Right.
I don't think it was a guitar string. It was a lot longer than that. I did enjoy it. I liked, I laughed a lot. I think especially her crawling through the ceiling and stuff like that.
That was a little, not comical,
it's
but
not comical, but it's fun.
You know, she was like, her hands and feet were moving a lot faster than her movement.
Yes.
Right. And so it felt very like she was on wires or something.
And I honestly needed that. I needed those little things to break out a little bit and go,
before you go insane fine. With before the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. And when you listen to the music of that, when he's in the tree.
Well, like the drone undertone that they played throughout this. I was watching this and I started getting so unnerved and I had to pause it like that.
Right.
Because I thought like, I was like, what is that? I thought it was like the washing machine. I was like, well, something's making me really and then I paused it and it stopped. And then I played it again and it went again. I was like, oh, that's the score, man. I was like, oh, that is so unnerving.
A good film has a good score.
It sure does.
I would say that in the very ending, it's not that music, is my guess.
Oh, it's the...
It's almost like inspirational music. Yeah. It's almost like feel good. We did it. The movie's over and the heroes won. Like if you...
That's what I heard. Someone explained the score. It was like... someone winning that shouldn't have.
Yes, yes. Like,
yeah.
Because I remember, like, listen, even my first time, I'm like, why do I feel so, like, happy right now?
Yeah.
Like, why? I don't think it's that. I think it's even, like, more upbeat.
It gets all...
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Like, just where you're like, oh, yeah, I feel good.
It's like... It's like a champion, right?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Yeah. Almost angelic, yeah.
Yeah.
Like... the clouds part.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it's...
Yeah, this maybe this isn't it. Yeah, yeah. And there you go.
It just throws you for a loop, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Queen Lee, man. She had it all along. Yeah, she won. Queen Lee won.
Do you think she killed herself?
Do you think
she sacrificed herself?
I mean...
like her death, do you think it was natural or it was...
I would say, why not? If you know that this is going to spark a series of events, why not maybe push it a little bit?
I'm sure it was. I'm sure she sacrificed herself because she says the rewards will, right. You know, that in note, other words, far outweigh the sacrifice or whatever like that.
That classic payment talk there.
How about when she sees the image of her mom when she turns off the light?
That was freaky.
Holy,
they did it a couple times. Even with, I thought the good one when Charlie was in Peter's room.
Oh,
and then her head kind of falls off and it becomes a ball. Like there's a lot of good little bits like that.
Oh, the cinematography is just unreal in this movie. Like this is, I mean, categorized as a horror movie, but this let's give it credit where credit is due. This is a well crafted movie despite being a horror movie.
Cinematographer was Powell Pogrozelski.
Somebody foreign.
Pogrozelski. And then the music was by Colin Stenson.
Colin Stenson.
We could look deeper into them and see what other stuff they've done, because they probably do good work.
Well.
Anything else from your end there, buddy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we had a friend recommend this.
It sounds like you told your friend to recommend
this. Well, I did. Does that mean we should call him or what? Sure,
give him a call.
And see what he thinks about...
This is the segment called Call Me. Where we call people who listen to the podcast as a way of saying thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like us to call you or recommend a movie for us to watch, you can email us at jerppodcast@gmail.com.
What's going on here? Come on.
Is it not working for you?
Oh.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Oh. Here we go.
Ground control.
I don't know. Is he going to pick up or not? Tom. What happens if he doesn't pick up?
We leave a message.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever heard of that before? They used to be answering machines, and now they've actually put the software in the phone. Is it software? It's an application.
Mm. It's an application.
And then you can check those messages later and call them back at a convenient time
for you. This guy. What's going on here?
What's going on with...
Oh.
I hope he gives...
You have reached the voicemail box for Chase the Egg. I'm sorry, I couldn't make it to the phone. Please leave me a message and I'll call you right back. Thanks, have a good day.
After leaving a message, you can hang up or press sound for more options.
If you play sound bits, will he hear that?
Yeah.
Hail Payman.
Hail Payman.
Hail Payman.
Hail Payman.
Jason, it's me, Queen Lee. Thank you for making me watch my movie, Hereditary. It messed me up forever, and I will always think of you when I think of this nightmare. I'd like to tell you that Sean just left his station of control center and went to the washroom. Therefore, I need to continue leaving this message and not cutting it at the appropriate time. Jason, I'm sorry for this voice message. Sometimes I think of you and I think of the horror that you brought and how I can't sleep at night because you made me watch this movie, Hereditary. Sean's back. Goodbye, Jason. Goodbye.
Oh my gosh, I almost peed my pants.
You were like kind of shaking like a
dude.
Child.
It was like, you know, when you get a certain age in life, you can't hold your pee-pee anymore.
And sometimes when you're really young, you can't hold your pee-pee.
Okay, well, I can't hold my pee-pee.
Let's rate this thing.
Oh.
This shit is awesome.
So this is where we give it a JARP rating out of five.
Five.
You give it one, two, three, four, five.
Five.
Sean, would you like to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. And I'm going to read it because I read. I read my rating.
Good for you.
I use my JARP rating meter.
It's not the fact that you read it. It's the fact that it sounds like you're reading it.
Okay.
So you can read anything you want.
Well, I'm going to read it. And I'm going to just let it sound like I read it.
My name is Sean.
My name is Sean. Period. I gave this a 4.5. This movie seems so much more than your standard horror movie, which I've already said. It's amazingly smart and laden with keys and symbols throughout, hinting at everything that is going on. The second viewing is almost as good as the first, as you can see all the effort that was put into crafting this movie. But you are a bit numb to the ending you know is coming. First viewing, I was scared shitless, curled up in a blanket in the middle of the day. This movie is a piece of art and Ari Aster's best movie to date.
Wow. I think I like Midsommar better.
That's fine.
But they're like together. They're like hand in hand.
Yeah. Like both very well crafted.
Very, yeah.
Got to go back, repeat viewings to actually catch everything.
We should have two TVs and just play them at the same time.
Ooh, and sync. See if
there's things that happen.
Oh, shit. I bet he does something like that.
Classic. I give this a 4.5 as well.
Good,
good family drama. Dwama. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very, and an unnerving horror. And it stays with me, like just like Midsommar. Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever watch this again. I probably will. I don't know. I've never watched Midsommar again, but it stays with me. It's always there, which is a sign of a pretty powerful movie.
Yeah, I haven't watched Midsommar a second time yet either.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
No.
Stargazing. Are you guys I did watch Goonies this morning.
Oh, how come? Just for fun?
Just for fun.
Nice.
I've got a Goonies VHS. I've got a Goonies DVD. I've got a Goonies book.
I see it all there, and laid out.
I have not seen Goonies for probably since I was a child.
I've got a Goonies board game that I bought for all of us to play, but it looks kind of complicated.
And when you say all of us, do you mean me, you, and the listeners?
Well, it's supposed to be me, you, Jason, and Matt. We're going to play it last Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but, you know.
What happened?
I don't know. Matt fucked up.
So you told me
he wanted to watch The Great Outdoors instead.
Yeah, this movie is better than The Great Outdoors.
Yes.
You're done with Entourage.
I'm done. I don't know why.
I just needed to get through.
I just needed to get, you know, you start a train wreck, you got to finish
it. You're a completist. You had to just move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done now. Now I'm at your whim to watch more content.
So you know what I'm watching right now? I just completed season one of Top Boy.
Top Boy. That's
Top Boy on
English,
Netflix.
British?
Yeah. It's in
England. Drugs?
Yep.
Drug dealers?
Yep.
Young drug dealers?
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Some are young. Some are a little bit older.
Okay.
Kind of like The Wire,
but I was gonna say,
no cops.
Okay.
Really some strong English, Southeastern English accents.
Okay. Did you need subtitles to?
No, sometimes you're like, I don't know what they said, but I know what they said.
Right.
You
pick it up.
Specifically, but I know what they mean.
Right. You couldn't quote them, but you know the underlying message.
Right. And I believe there's three seasons on Netflix. There's also maybe like a Top Boy Summer House separate series. I'm not quite sure yet. I haven't fully gone down the rabbit hole yet, but I have watched the first season over the last couple of days. Very good. Watched the Goonies. We brought the Barbie home, so we'll watch that for a second viewing with the family. That
okay,
good. I quite like the Barbie. I finally saw Asteroid City. It's on Prime now. So Wes Anderson flick.
What do you think?
Yeah, I liked it. It's weird.
Better or worse than Moonrise Kingdom?
Not as good as Moonrise.
Do you think? No, that's my favorite Wes Anderson movie, Moonrise Kingdom.
I wouldn't say this is the best Wes Anderson movie, but it is like the rhythm of how his characters speak.
This is the rhythm of
his Once you kind of get that in your head, I feel like all dialogue sounds like Wes Anderson.
Right.
Like it's kind of like,
I wonder if that's like how he talks. Like all of Quentin Tarantino's movies, characters kind of talk like Quentin Tarantino, right?
I'm interested to find out. I've been watching Lessons in Chemistry, which is not bad on Apple.
Okay.
And which brings me to a little movie called The Marvels. Mm-hmm. So the next Marvel movie coming out.
Do we have to talk about
that? Well, I just think it's interesting. I think I think this is going to be... Loki is not very good. Season 2 of Loki is not very good. Surprise, surprise.
Okay, you really enjoyed the first season.
I really enjoyed the first season.
I know a lot of people did, didn't
I? I've recently gone back to watch Werewolf... I think it's Werewolf by Night and the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas specials, kind of presentation specials they did last year, which I think are like 45-minute standalone episodes, which I really work to me. Like, work better than most Marvel properties on Disney+. Plus.
Why are you watching a Christmas special in the first week of November?
First of all, Christmas rules. And second of all, Guardians of the Galaxy. Galaxy also rules. So you put those two together.
I think you gotta wait a little bit longer for that.
I got Halloween out of the way. I should have waited till after Remembrance Day. I'm bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, you should be watching Save Private Ryan right now.
That'd be good. I have
That would be good to go back and watch that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good movie. I also have Band of Brothers, so I could watch
I've got that.
Do you know that they're making
Band of Pacific?
And they're making a new one. They're making a movie about planes.
Oh.
Like a series of World War II one. I can't remember which ones. And it's about the people in the planes.
Okay.
Like the Air Force.
Oh, by those producers that did Band of Brothers and shit?
I mean, I'm going to say that. I think there is a connection somehow, but it's going to be on Apple. It's going to be the Apple is producing
it. Apple owns it. All right.
So I know that's coming. I mean, that's my educated...
I noticed Invincible Season 2 is out on Prime.
Invincible.
Have you started it yet?
No, I haven't.
I think I'll move on to that.
Yeah, yeah. They're only doing one episode a week.
Oh, what? So
that's a good thing, dude. It allows you to talk about it, talk with your neighbor. Did you watch Invincible last night?
Right.
Very good. I wonder what's going to happen next. Right. But when you binge it, then you kind of move on right away and you don't talk about it. It kind of removes
Would talk about it.
Would we?
I don't know.
No, we could.
Okay.
I enjoyed Invincible Season 1, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, I like it. Anyways, the Marvels are coming out. I'd love to be able to take my girls to the Marvels, but I doubt I will. It's unfortunate that like a movie with women characters is unfortunately going to be probably the thing that just kind of buries Marvel for good. Not saying that this is the only bad movie. Obviously, we've had like a whole range of not so good movies with Ant-Man and the Marvels. Not the Marvels, the Internals. But yeah, I don't know.
You should ask me to join you on that, to the Marvels.
Do you want to come to watch the Marvels with us?
Go fuck yourself.
What did you say that, or is that Tom Cruise?
That's Tom Cruise.
Thanks.
I'm so excited.
Fine.
For the Marvels. I'm so excited.
For the Marvels.
Do you want to do a random movie trivia game?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Random movie trivia game.
Okay, this is where we have cards we purchased. Do you want to pick a card randomly from this big pile? There's four questions on each card. We've not seen these questions before. We're going to take turns asking them. The one person who gets the most right wins this podcast.
So whenever you act like this, is because I've read the questions that I need to ask Russ, and they're ridiculously easy. As I was talking,
you grabbed your card and looked at it.
Okay, I did.
I have not read my cards yet. Oh, here we go. Do you want me to ask you first?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Do it.
In Monty Python and the Holy Grail, what is the first question you must answer to cross the Bridge of Death? And it's not the speed philosophy of a swallow.
What is your favorite color?
What is your name? What is your favorite color?
Shit, it was number two. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
What British buddy cop movie has a small town executing ne'er-do-wells for the greater good? What British buddy cop movie has a small town executing...
Does it star Olivia Colman?
Near Two Walls.
Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I hate you.
Because remember, they were like, for the greater good. But I think you're saying the town, the name of the town.
Town executing ne'er-do-wells.
What the hell is that? I think that's the name of the town. No.
Ne'er-do-wells is like good people.
Never-do-wells. Maybe that's a never.
Ne'er-do-whatever.
Never-do-wells.
Just give me that next question.
Because they wanted to keep their...
I'm upset.
Okay, what... What 90s movie sees Chicago firefighters on the trail of a serial arsonist? What 90s movie sees Chicago firefighters on the trail of a serial arsonist?
Backdraft.
Yeah, good job. Haven't seen that movie for a long time. I wonder if that movie holds up.
Why does Bodie rob banks in the original Point Break? Why does Bodhi rob banks in the original Point Break?
I think it's more of like a social commentary thing. So it's like a anarchy kind of thing. Like, fuck the system. Like, does he want to use all the money to go to that place in Maui? Yeah, something like that. No. Oh, I swore. Why does he do it? I don't know. To fuck the man. I don't know.
Just to fuck the man?
Yeah, just to, like, screw you. This is to, like, turn over the... Oh, what is it?
I don't know. This is a... to fund his surfing.
Oh, I kind of said that at one point. I didn't land on it. But I said because he's going for that big wave. I've seen this movie recently.
To fund his trip. Yeah, for sure.
But he was able to...
But it's basically to so that he doesn't have to work and conserve.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. Live a life.
But is that what you said?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I thought it was more like philosophical. who plays? Are you ready?
One more, just good measure. Okay, wait. We're 1-1 right now?
1-1.
Okay, let's do this.
Who plays Sam, Molly's dead partner in the 90s classic film Ghost? Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. What a link to the last question, eh? That's funny. Two different cars. It's like Charlie and Chocolate.
Say Keanu Reeves. Say Keanu Reeves. Say it.
And it's the Patrick of the Swayze.
That's right. Wow. Okay. 2-1.
Okay. Oh, good luck with this one. In what film does Marlon Brando yell, Stella? Oh, no. Stella.
Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh, my God. How did you know that?
Dude, I'm smart.
I don't even know that movie.
I think I maybe have seen that movie, but.
What are we at now? 2-2?
2-2.
Okay.
What psychopath did Robert De Niro play in Cape Fear? Oh, a movie we've done.
What psychopath?
What was the name of his character in Cape Fear? Oh, it was Robert De Niro's.
Shit.
Psychopath. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't remember that. That's hard. Hard to remember. I can't even remember Jem and Scout from To Kill a Mockingbird. That was me remembering questions.
Wait. Blank.
The character's name was Max Cady.
Max Cady. Okay.
You kind of hear Nicholas Nolte say, Max.
Max, his private investigator says it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, and for the win, who is Leia's father?
Fuck. Okay. So she had a brother, Luke. They had a father, Anakin. But Anakin's kind of... Everyone knew Anakin as Darth Vader. Was that the Titanic song?
Yeah.
Darth Vader. Anakin Skywalker.
I hate you. Come on. What?
How do I get that question? And
you know what? I think you deserve that for the Streetcar Named Desire. I think.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I'll give it up.
Sure. Marlon Brando, man. He's a big guy. A big, famous guy.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Extra bonus points for the Streetcar Named Desire.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
Everyone go watch Hereditary.
Yeah. Go watch it. Highly recommend it. 4.5.
Leave you.
All right. I love you, buddy.
Love you too, buddy. Bye. Hail Payment. What part is this?
What's she doing? She's sawing her head off.
Oh, I thought it was more of a
what is
it's gonna go.
And then it gets faster.
Oh, there. So that's the same scene?
It's just that's gross. What do you think about that?
I mean, if I'm going to cut my head off, I mean, that's the way to go.